The Final Edition Radio Hour is a work of satire intended for audiences who own books, gentrify neighborhoods, and say they like kale. Please consume responsibly, the satire, that is.
Hi, I'm Jeff Chrysler.
And I'm Tony Hendra.
And this is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
This week, we pay a visit to the funeral of House Majority Leader, the beloved Eddie Cantor, who often appeared in Boardwalk Empire and has been dead for 50 years.
That's Eric Cantor, you ignorant slut. And the last thing that stain upon my religion is or was beloved. We also have an exclusive interview with serial White House subletter Hillary Clinton.
And on this once-in-a-lifetime Friday the 13th with a full moon, we pay tribute to several groups of lunatics. For instance, those nimble ninja jockeys and thunder-thighed hog straddlers who selflessly drive at high speeds into utility poles and abutments to save lives.
The unsung army of official breast inspectors who tirelessly patrol our streets and supermarkets.
And, of course, the gentle giants of Silicon Valley, who've transformed our once meaningless existence into a paradisical cloud of infinite possibility, provided we're willing to wait 5 to 7 shipping days.
But we have not touched with the proverbial pole-vaulting pole that Okie state senator who called for gay people to be stoned to death.
Because the only way to stop a bad gay with an agenda is a good guy with a fucking great rock.
Nor have we dealt with the shocking news that Donald Sterling is now refusing to sell his plantation.
Nor the fact that Whole Foods has had to recall thousands of pounds of beef with mad cow disease.
But is apparently doing nothing about the nightmare of mad kale disease.
So hold on to your custom jackrabbit handlebars, point your Harley at that abutment, and away we go with
the Final Edition Radio Hour.
My fellow Republicans, as Speaker of the House, it is my heavy duty to say a few words. We are gathered here today to pay our respects to House Majority Leader Eric Cantor.
Hey, I'm right here.
Our thoughts are with his family and friends at this difficult time.
I'm not dead.
Friends, in the brief time Eric was with us, he witnessed great changes in the two-party system. And by two-party system, I mean the Republican Party and the Tea Party. Michelle?
I just wish that Eric... what's his last name?
Cantor.
Cantor!
I just wish that Eric Cantor didn't try to be all mainstream and whatnot.
Can anyone hear me? I'm still here. I'm not even out of office.
Ted Cruz, you have something you want to say about the dearly departed?
Yes. There's something my daddy always used to say at times like this.
And what's that?
He said, black and Hispanic voters are uninformed and deceived.
What does that mean?
It means, don't fuck with a Tea Party nut job.
Hi, I'm David Brett. I defeated Eric Cantor. Can I join in this funeral?
I'm not dead.
Did you hear something? It sounded like a ghost.
Well, maybe it was immigration reform.
David Brett, do you have any views on the important issues you'll be deciding?
The one source of economic growth is virtue. It is not property rights, not law or resources, but virtue.
What does that mean?
It means don't fuck with a Tea Party nut job.
Is there any way I can appease you, you unqualified, radical, idiotic moron?
Not really! We're coming for you, too!
If only Eric Cantor were here.
Cantor? Cantor?
Did you hear something, Ted? It sounds like a ghost.
Maybe it was participatory democracy.
For the last time, I'm not dead!
Oh, shut up. You might as well be.
I'm the discredited, cancelled Piers Morgan, and my guest is the leading presidential non-candidate, Hillary Clinton. It's a pleasure to see you, Hillary.
I wish I could say the same, Piers.
Your new book, Hard Choices, says that you understand the hard life.
Yes, and I say that the choices of diplomacy are similar to those faced by ordinary Americans.
Really? What American is faced with a Kim Jong-un who won't return his lawnmower? Or a PTA meeting that becomes a Benghazi-style quagmire.
Oh, the average American can find that out in my book.
Why should the average American buy a hardcover book to find out the opinions of a woman who won't say if she's running for president?
They don't have to buy a hardcover. They can read it on the Kindle.
Is that the digital equivalent of saying, let them eat cake?
Pierce, I'm going to repress my actual feelings about you in an effort to appear more presidential.
Ah, so you are running.
I never said I wasn't.
You never said you were.
I'm not saying that now.
Are you not saying that you're not running?
I'm not saying I'm not running.
Are you saying that you're not running?
I'm not.
I'm not sure what we're saying.
Me neither.
Ah, is that your brain damage talking?
Are you always this stupid?
Answer the question. Yes.
Most of our recent presidents have had brain damage. Nixon, Reagan, George W. Bush, my husband.
No one ever said Bill Clinton had a damaged brain.
Well, it wasn't what he was thinking with. I mean, no comment.
Are you too old to be president? Ronald Reagan was an old geezer who had Alzheimer's and thought he was still working for the studio system. Which studio would you have worked for in the 1930s? RKO or MGM?
I don't see what that has to do with anything.
I don't either, but we pundits have to come up with questions to ask you for the rest of the bloody year until you decide what we all know you're going to do, which is declare your candidacy.
MGM.
Why MGM?
Because they made The Wizard of Oz, which said, there's no place like home.
And I suppose your lessons of diplomacy would have helped Uncle Henry and Auntie M defeat Miss Gulch, as long as they could afford a hardcover book before the Twister took their house away.
I'm not saying I'm running, Pierce, but if I win, you might want to flee the country.
I would have done that already. But I'm also brain damaged. This is Piers Morgan for the final edition.
Science Today, which is sponsored this week by Darko Petroleum. And by coincidence, our guest is a spokesperson from Darko Petroleum, Robert Newglavy, who's going to tell us about some exciting new scientific developments his company has discovered while fracking.
Oh, that's right, Terry. We've been forcing water, gases, and chemicals into the ground to fracture rock and release gas and oil. And we think the world ought to know about our amazing scientific discoveries.
Like what?
Well, somehow scientists for thousands of years have missed this, but it turns out that water is flammable. And it always has been.
That's amazing! How did every other scientist in history manage to miss that?
Didn't keep an open mind, I guess. But we lit a match in front of a hose and there it was.
It's such an obvious experiment.
Tell you something else, and this is even more unforgivable. It turns out that water tastes terrible and is poison.
How come no one knows this? The scientific community must have been asleep at the wheel for thousands of years.
That's true. Water is not drinkable, and it never was.
How have people reacted to this news?
Well, the first people we told were the folks living near the fracking operations, because if you saw them, they obviously drink too much water.
I bet they were grateful to you.
Boy, you'd think so, wouldn't you? Jeez, those people.
You were saving their lives.
Exactly. Thank you.
You also found out something interesting about earthquakes.
Well, that's a little theoretical, but... Well, we've had a large number of earthquakes in California this year, more than usual.
And you think you know why?
I don't want to oversell this, but there are two possible reasons why they're having more earthquakes. It could be one reason, the other, or both.
Two possible reasons.
Yes, first reason for the earthquakes, people have been bad.
Ooh, I like that one.
Me too. Second possible reason for all the earthquakes, not enough fracking.
Yeah, that's probably it. Robin Oglevy, thank you for being here. And if you see God, thank him for Darko Petroleum.
I will.
The following portion of the Final Edition Radio Hour is brought to you by Non-Biker People for Bikers.
Don't you hate this sound? Every time you see them weaving in and out of heavy rush hour traffic at way over 100 miles per hour, never even being chased by the troopers, let alone getting a ticket, don't you just want to run them off the road and into a utility pole? Or this sound. Every time you see them hogging the highway in a quarter-mile convoy with their beer bellies flopping on their gas tanks and their faux Hell's Angels colors, farting thunder so loud dead birds fall from the sky, along with local real estate values, don't you just wish you had a missile launcher on your roof? Well, Non-Biker People for Bikers says let's stop the mindless criticism of that gallant young man screaming down the highway with the gallant young woman perched on his back. Let's end the naked prejudice against that selfless, overweight dentist with his amusement park pirate bandana around his bald spot and his shiny, modified mufflers accentuating his SPS. Why? Because these people are heroes. Tearing through the night or the countryside, calling deafening attention to the sacrifices they're willing to make for others. The lame, the sick, the halt, the weak, the afflicted, and the amputated. Every single day, donating organs to us by the thousands. And limbs, if they're not too badly damaged. So, thank you, crazed speedsters from the bottom of our new hearts. May you rest in pieces. Amen.
With luck, we'll be right back.
Thanks.
Welcome back to the Final Edition Radio Hour, Satire with Teeth.
Comcast.
Now that we've bought Time Warner and done away with net neutrality, we here at Comcast want the public to get to know us. We already know everything about you. First of all, you'll notice a new section on our webpage listing all the people who will no longer appear on broadcast or broadband in any fashion again. Anywhere. Ever. You'll be surprised at some of the big names you read there. But read them fast, because after 72 hours, they are stricken from the book of life. And as for your favorite TV shows, they're about to become even more like they've always been. They'll be cheaper, more efficient, more relaxing, more of everything you've tuned in for on previous occasions. Here's the president of our company, Marcellus T. Comcast. Please do not make eye contact with him.
Hello, I am Marcellus T. Comcast. And this is the giant flaming eye of wrath that hangs above my desk. I began Comcast in 1963 with a dream. A great and terrifying dream of an oak split in twain by lightning. And the right half became the Western Empire. And the left became the Eastern Empire. And lo, the waters of Babylon did gush forth and drowned the beast of Shibboleth. We acquired American Cellular Network Corporation in 1988, and AT&T Broadband in 2002, and, we just bought Time Warner. And I guess that's about it. There's coffee in the break room if you want any.
So thank you for listening, and welcome to Comcast. We hope you enjoy everything Comcast has to offer, because if you don't, that's a problem.
The Final Edition took to the streets to ask passers-by, how can we protect our schools?
If we arm all the kids, and we make sure that only the strongest kid survives, you know, it's one big Hunger Games kind of shootout, and at the end of it, you got like 10 kids left, you know, but God, they're good.
If we, you know, medicate them and get them therapy, and then they won't, you know, be violent anymore and stuff.
What about all the immigrants that shoot people? And I don't care if they're children. I mean, I don't care, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about. But I'm saying that Mexicans, okay?
You know what I think we need here is a bigger cut in the capital gains tax. I think people are paying too much money on their investment income, and it is, you know, one thing lead to another. School shootings.
We just build a big fence, and we put a lot of barbed wire on it, and then it just, we keep the bad guys out, and then it's like a compound.
We need a lattice work of alternate universes in which all the children are isolated, so that if one child shoots another child, what'll happen is the bullet will have no effect because it comes from an alternate reality and is it just really has an intangible. It's like antimatter. It's just intangible in our universe.
I was going to say that. He said everything I was going to say.
This portion of the Final Edition Radio Hour is brought to you by the Oil is Green Foundation.
Why do we hate oil so? Why do we blame oil for global warming, the pollution of our air and seas, the death of millions of species? Oil is not our enemy. Oil is a child of Mother Earth. Oil is numberless trillions of trees, shrubs, plants, flowers, fruits, grains, and as many species of birds, reptiles, mammals, living organisms, large and small, all totally organic, every single cell of which passed away of natural causes. Gently compressed by organic, natural processes, oil ages deep in the bosom of Mother Earth for millions and millions of years. Like the finest wine in a vast underground cellar, it matures into thick, luscious, darkly shining, nutrient-rich, intensely concentrated earth juice. Oil is the blood that flows through our planet's hearts and veins. Oil is the essence of life. So let's stop wasting our time and money on unreliable, renewable energy. Stop destroying America's purpled majesty with ugly wind and solar farms. Stop turning her amber waves of grain into useless ethanol. Instead of feeding a hungry planet. And thank Mother Earth for oil, the greenest of all her children.
This message has been brought to you thanks to a massive grant from Charles and David Koch.
Things go better with Coke.
Good morning, people. Welcome to the Seattle Radisson and the final TEDition Digital Media Conference 1.0 entitled, wait for it,
Big Data, Big Ideas,
on tiny little screens, on tiny little devices.
How's about a heads up on day one's awesome activities? Let me hear you, peeps. Okay, awesomest.
9 a.m. Seymour Ballroom Roundtable Work Group. Consuming content, unconsuming content. Keeping it down is no barfing matter. Led by Dennis Menacing Lee, CTO, Blow It Out Your Digitas Media.
Okay, 10 a.m. Seattle Seahawk Post Game Coitus Suite. Speak Work Talk Group. Will big data bolt-ons catalyze digitally enabled content ecosystems across multiple analytics platforms in activating customer intent? Or not? Chaired by Maharishi Murray Blatstein Gupta, CPO, R2-D2 Messant, Yogi Analytics, Hyderabad.
Awesome! 10:30 a.m., Lincoln Off-Center, Square Table Round Group, Native Advertising, How to Manage Ecosystems of Native Naked Breast Content.
Brilliant! 11:30 a.m., Kurt Cobain, Nirvana Spa, Group Work Round Pound. Can bigger, better, bolder, big data bolt-ons activate digital catalytical multiple eco-contentical customer intentioning systemizationals? On platforms? Chair, gingivitis, CEO, dump. .com.
Awesome! 12 noon, Billie Jean King Skybox. Shut up and listen for him. Theme, women are from Venus, men are from penis. Today's Lean In Concern. Will women breaking through the glass ceiling mean a surge in upskirt Instagrams?
Let's hope not. 12:30 p.m., Grunge Memorial Hall. Lunchtime tweet-a-thon. News topic. To offset his pro-corporate sellout on net neutrality, White House sources say Obama is mulling a safety internet. Possible trending tweets. Will the safety internet bridge the gap between the digiliterati and us? Do we want it to? Do we give a rat's scrotum about the digiliterati? Does the web's future include Webfare checks, Webfare bums, Webfare queens? Lead tweeter, Sherman Mao, CIO, really mad bad ads.
Okay, everyone, the final Tedition 1.0 is made possible by a new TV series from Time Com WarnerCast. Watch the trailer.
Meet the Silicon Valley super wankers.
Jobs, Gates, Negroponte, Berners-Lee, Zuckerberg, Kleiner, Perkins, Caulfield, and Byers, Jerry Yang, Sergey Brin, the entire editorial staff of Wired.
They all went from wonk to wanker, from wanker to super wanker, thrilled to their earth-shattering inventions of a new kind of typewriter, a new kind of telephone, a new kind of television. A typewriter that was also a telephone and a television. A telephone that was also a television and a typewriter. A television, telephone, typewriter where you could find anything you liked, anytime you liked, anywhere you liked, on a tiny little screen, and then like it. A revolutionary way to go shopping without going anywhere or meeting anybody or being able to check the quality of the merchandise or use or eat or wear it for 5 to 7 business days and then have your identity stolen. All thanks to the super wankers who changed everything. Sex, sports, gaming, music, movies, art, travel, food, marriage, birth, education, life, death, reality, and then, according to Wired, changed everything over and over and over again. All these awesome innovations depending on a technology developed by the military, which, thanks to the super wankers, now reaches into every home, school, office, place of business or leisure, or wherever, so that the military can watch over us, storing away where we live, where we go, who we meet, what we like and do and say and think, and keep us safe from harm. Oh, brave new world that has such super wankers in it. Coming soon to that tiny little screen in your hand or your crotch or in those weird glasses you wear, the Silicon Valley super wankers, who are very rich and do no evil.
Totally, totally awesome! Okay, the final Tedition 1.0 super wankers, it's time to take our
big data, big ideas.
Insert ourselves between millions of people and the real world and make some M-O-N-E-Y!
A
We'll be right back after this with the Final Edition Radio Hour. Welcome back to the Final Edition Radio Hour. We've spent a lot of time lately reliving my old glories. And I bet some of you are wondering, what about Jeff's old glories? Hello, Jeff's mum. How are you? Well, his glories aren't all that old, but this is the fifth anniversary of the publication of his first book, The Great Satire, Get Rich Cheating. To commemorate this incredible moment, he's decided to grace us with a brief sample of his groundbreaking wealth-building seminar, in which you will learn how to get rich just like the big cheaters, Jamie Dimon, Mr. Goldman, and Mr. Sachs. So grab a pen and paper, take some notes, sit back and enjoy Get Rich Cheating.
All right, yes, wow, oh, amazing, this is so exciting for you. This is the first time I've presented my award-winning seminar, my award-winning wealth-building secrets, Get Rich Cheating, as an audio program. You are going to have your lives change in just a few minutes time, and then, of course, by buying my book and hiring my services, my wealth building personal one-on-one, very expensive services, well worth the investment. Let me start by asking you all a question. Is anybody listening here rich? No, you're not. Okay, you wouldn't be listening on radio. You would be having a chorus of some sort of slave-type people singing words to you instead of putting earbuds in your phone or whatever it is that you do. You're not rich. You know what? I used to be just like you. I used to be just like you, just sitting around waiting for my break, waiting for my moment. Well, how was I going to get rich? I was, investing in the stock market. I was buying lottery tickets. I was waiting for my grandmother to die. It never happened. Then one day, I was reading the newspaper. I'm sure you've all heard about newspapers on the internet. And these stories, they struck me. They were so amazing. A bailed out executive gets $40 million severance. Steroid user gets $200 million salary. Kim Kardashian exists. It struck me like a ton of pricks. These folks were getting rich cheating. It wasn't hard work. It wasn't intelligence. It wasn't even luck. It was cheating. And in that moment, I said to myself, is this how it's always been done? Is this the only way? What's happening? And so I went out there and I did the research. And look, I believe we stand on the shoulders of giants. If we just bend down, we can steal their ideas. So I looked at the history of this world, of modern culture and civilization, and I found that the great moments in history were also the great moments in cheating. For instance, darkness. God creates heaven and earth in 6 days, submits an invoice for 7. 1206 AD, Genghis Khan proposes a merger with Asia Incorporated. Once he's rebuffed, he builds the most brutal empire in history until Google. In the 1870s, Standard Oil is the first great modern monopoly, using politics and economics and connections to seize power and money. Once Standard Oil is broken up, oil is never again a political or economic issue. In 1929, John Steinbeck engineers the Great Depression in order to boost sales of his book, Grapes of Wrath. A similar move, the moon landing is faked. We only discover their ruse when MTV lands on the real kick-ass moon. 1984, like Standard Oil in its day, was the founding of a great, great company, Enron. Enron. Ugh. Just say the word. Just feel how it rolls off your tongue. Enron. Enron. It's like Yahweh or Jesus or Reagan. It's just, oh, it's everything. They coined the phrase creative accounting. It's better than making crap up. They did so many things. I don't have time to get into it. Trust me, in the seminar, the well worth your thousands of dollars, the personal one-on-one coaching, I will explain it all to you. A few other great moments in the history of cheating in 2000. Of course, there are votes counted in Florida for president, 2004 votes counted in Ohio for president, 2008 we had a $750 billion bailout that was 3 pages long, and in 2014 you pay to listen to me tell you how to get rid. Now look, I studied these people. I thought, if they're doing it, why not me? And then I fell back upon sort of just the traditional proven means of improving oneself. And I realized I just had to follow 3 simple steps. I had to visualize my dreams. Then I had to confront the obstacles to my dreams. And then using simple tools, I had to achieve my dreams. Visualize, confront, achieve. And that's all you need to do.
We'll start by visualizing our dreams, visualizing our dreams. I said to myself, what is it that I want? What is it that I want? Money. Okay? Money can buy you love. Money can buy you happiness. Money can buy you anything you possibly want. You want the love of a good woman or several mediocre women? Money gets that for you. I mean, money is all that matters. Money is all that we value. Have you ever seen the TV show Lifestyles of the Poor and Decrepit? No. You know, you see little five-year-old kids run around with t-shirts to say, show me the money, instead of Winnie the Pooh. And that makes sense, because Winnie the Pooh is so poor, he can't afford pants. Look, in today's day and age, money isn't just for food and rent and alimony. If you get enough money, you can do whatever you want and live forever. Just ask Hugh Hefner. So, accepting that money is my dream, is my goal, is my... there's probably some foreign language that has a word for thing. I said, okay, what are the things holding me back? I have to confront the obstacles to that dream. And my fear is the obstacle. Your fear is your obstacle. And what are you afraid of? Why are you afraid of getting rich cheating? Because you're afraid of getting caught. And I'll tell you, when I teach you to get rich cheating, there's a chance you'll get caught. Something between 6% and 96%. You might get caught, but, and this is a big but, and I like big buts because they do not lie, getting caught cheating is not the same as going to jail cheating. Let me ask, how many people responsible for the financial crisis who made hundreds of millions of dollars, how many of those people are in jail? Zero. Zero. Right? Even Bernie Madoff, yeah, he was sentenced to 120 years in jail, but Bernie Madoff stole $60 billion. Are you telling me he can't afford a clone? He can. And there's so many ways to avoid jail. Bernie Ebers at WorldCom, he said he didn't know what was happening in his company. He ended up in jail, but I'll teach you how to get out. The point is, you're not going to go to jail. So what else do you fear? If it's not going to jail, if that's not realistic, what's our other fear? Fear. We fear not being liked. We all want to be liked. That's why we're on Twitter and Facebook and Prozac. Look, it's understandable. But we shouldn't care about being liked. Okay, why do you care about what other people think? Other people don't really care about you. I mean, we're led to believe that it matters, but you know, there's no footprints in the sand. There's no bridge over troubled water. You know how they say there's no I in team? Well, guess what? There's no we in rich. If you want to get rich cheating, you simply must not care what other people think of you. I mean, is that really that hard? Have you met people? People are dumb. I mean, people text and drive. People buy Apple products the first day they're out. People can't believe it's not butter. These are the people you're worried about? Stop. Just stop doing that. And look, I realize saying, oh, don't care what other people think is, it's easy for me because I've perfected that craft, but it's probably hard for you because you don't have the experience. You don't understand. You haven't seen the truth. I mean, you're probably sitting there thinking to yourself, hey, Jeff, cheating is wrong. I've been told that cheating is wrong. No. That is programming shoved down your throat by weak-minded hippie robots that want to tell you what is right and wrong. Who are they to tell you what are right and wrong? Who are these people? Ah, do what we say. We know what is right and wrong. 2.5 men is hilarious. BS. Okay? These are just lies shoved down your throat. The truth is, the only one judging you is you. So stop doing that. I stopped judging myself according to other people's ideas of morality. My moral compass is pointing due north. Due north gold, not North Pole. You see what I did there? I don't care what other people think, because the truth is, we're born alone, wah, we die alone, wah, and in the middle, if we're good, we make millions and millions of dollars alone. So don't worry about other people. Don't worry about morality. Don't worry about ethics. These are constructs of a society that wants to keep its wealth to itself. When it's yours for the taking. And how do you take it? Well, once you visualize that dream of money and confronted these insignificant obstacles to cheating, your fears, your morality, your ethics, it's quite simple. And I'm not going to give away all my details in this free audio tease, but you know, you want to get into sports, you do steroids. You want to get into show business, you're either born to someone already in show business, or you use your body. You know, if you don't have the family connections, you got the family jewels. You know, you sleep your way up. But you just, if you need to visualize someone else, so be it. You'll, once you're rich and famous, you can have whoever you want. You want just regular jobs? The lie on your resume. I mean, there's been a lie on resumes ever since T-Rex said he could, you know, type 60 words a minute, was immune to tar pits. I mean, there's so many ways to get rich cheating. I want to focus on two important ones, two that we see all the time. Number one, spin. Your words, your image, your ability to communicate with other people. This is key. Do any of the listeners here know that Donald Trump is just a failed real estate investor? You probably think he's a TV show host, a trophy wife gatherer, a tester of futuristic outer space hair pieces, because that's the image he projects with his words, with his spin. But it's not true. But you put that out there, and that it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And spin not only can make you like a hero to yourself and therefore the world, and just get people to want to give you money to be near you, but spin can prevent you from falling into traps. It can do so much. Like General Motors, a while back, they fired a bunch of people, but they didn't say it was a mass layoff. They said they were lowering the retirement age to now. Now, there's a little something hidden in there. General Motors fired a bunch of people. General Motors Corporation didn't care about people. More than that, they exploited those people. That is the second key I want to share with you right now. Besides spinning your words, is finding a group of people to exploit. You can choose from so many. You can choose from the poor and the elderly and the desperate and the athletes and the religious and the sick and the healthy, the left and the right, the middle, the foreign, the domestic. There are so many people. Just choose one and run with it, because trust me, there are so many people waiting to give you their money. Here's a little counterintuitive trick that I've used. I gave money to get money. How did I do that? Student loan companies. Greatest cheaters out there right now, hands down. Why? Because they give kids $100,000, $200,000, but they get back their money plus interest. Right? Though they get it back. Right? And when you graduate from college, you're out of those ivory doors, you get a text, an email, a phone call from a student loan agency. When you move for the rest of your life, first letter of your new apartment, student loan company. You cannot run from a student loan company. You cannot hide from a student loan company. Student loan companies will track you to the ends of the earth. I swear, if Osama bin Laden had a student loan, we would have caught him September 12th, 1997. Yeah. So you see, this is just a little tease on the packaging and all the easy tricks, but the truth is, the easiest trick is the fact that you're listening to this. And the fact that you're listening to this most likely in the greatest place to cheat, the most fertile soil for cheating, America, the land of opportunity. America, built by slaves on land we were to, or land stolen from people that we were too dumb to realize didn't come from India. Slaves, dumb. Foreigners. Like, this is America. Of the cheaters, by the cheaters, for the cheaters. A place where we don't care that you're a steroid hitting home run machine that looks like Popeye. We don't care if you steal an election. We don't really care until it affects our ability to eat fast food and watch crappy movies and drive three blocks away in our SUVs and spend $40 on a gallon of gas and a plasma TV and dreams about what thin people look like while 90% of us are. We don't care if you cheat. Just don't mess up the primetime TV. Just don't mess up our little existence. We'll be fine. America, it is fertile soil, the land of dreams, a land where you will achieve everything you have ever wanted. And what is it that you want? Money. And how are you going to get it? Cheating. I want you to get out there. I want you to start thinking. I want you to start praying, if that's what you do. And I want you to start cheating. I want you to buy my book, $14.99. I want you to hire me for personal coaching, $15,000 an hour for introductory rate, at which point I bump it up. And I want you to get rich cheating. Thank you for listening. God bless you, and God bless these United States of America.
Hey, Tony.
Yes, Jeff?
So, I just started listening to this show.
What do you mean, this show? The Final Edition Radio Hour?
Yes, the Final Edition Radio Hour.
You just started listening?
Yes.
But you produce it?
I've been busy. Look, it doesn't matter. The point is, I like it. I like this show a lot.
Well, I should hope so.
I mean, it's no car talk or anything, but, you know, it's good. I mean, it's great.
Well, we're glad you like it.
But I wish there was more I could do, you know, besides just listening.
What do you mean?
Well, I know how much work it must take to make great radio like this, and I worry that the Final Edition doesn't have enough fans, enough support, enough...
We're doing okay. We certainly could do better, but, you know.
Tony, come on. Don't be shy. What more can I do as a fan of this show, the Final Edition Radio Hour?
Well, I mean, you could go to thefinaledition.com and check out everything else that we offer.
Oh, cool. Thefinaledition.com. Oh, this is great. Oh, we have an album?
Yes, we do.
The Vinyl Edition. Cool. Oh, and it's on iTunes and CD Baby. That's awesome.
And it's cheap.
Good. I like that. Cheap greatness. Ooh, there's also a YouTube channel.
Yep. We've got great animation and live action clips and money or die.
So I could just go to thefinaledition.com and buy the album or share some of the great articles or go to the YouTube channel and share those videos.
Of course. That would be great.
And I could tell people about this show, right?
Absolutely. We're on Progressive Voices every weekend, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. East and 5 p.m. West. And on Podbean, and we're syndicated through Rooftop Comedy and PRX.
So basically just help spread the word.
Absolutely. Spread the word.
About what again?
The Final Edition, Jeff. The Final Edition. You work here.
Oh, right. Thefinaledition.com.
Thefinaledition.com. We'll be right back after this with the Final Edition Radio Hour. You are listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour. Satire with teeth.
Coming soon on the History Channel, from the people who brought you Ice Road Truckers and Axemen, comes a show about the guys who have the biggest jobs to handle. Meet the official boob inspectors.
The hardest part is that a lot of women don't even realize that this is a real job. Hello, it's not just boob inspector, it's official boob inspector. Just like the t-shirt says, lady.
Women do have to be careful. I mean, there are guys out there who impersonate official boob inspectors. A real OBI has the official gear, like this cool badge I got. But it misspelled inspector.
Or this great boob inspector baseball hat. Check out the titties on it, sitting right on the visor. Watch what happens when you touch one. Is that great or what?
Shopping mall food court, 1700 hours. The boob patrol is in action.
This place is great because there's a baby gap in the mall and you get a lot of young mothers.
You know, it's easy to miss a pair of boobs, especially if they're disguised under loose or heavy clothing.
You have to learn to undress them with your eyes.
Hey, boob alert, 9 o'clock.
Here we go. Hold it right there, ma'am. Official boob inspectors. Yes, you, with the twin stroller. Show us your tits.
Fuck off, creep.
That's a hell of a mouth on a mother.
No respect for the law. You know, those toddlers have a fine role model.
Fuck you!
When things get rough, we threaten them with calling in backup. Ma'am, you're interfering with a harassment. Either calm down, or I'm gonna have to take you for a free mustache ride. That's a whole different t-shirt. I got it in my utility pack.
Obviously, the hardest part is performing the actual inspections.
Yeah, we haven't gotten that far yet.
From tank tops to Wonder Bras, there's no cleavage too deep for these guys. Look for official boob inspectors. They'll be looking for you.
Oh my God, you see what I see coming out of the Starbucks?
Side boob!
Oh yes, side boob, I salute you. Stupid hat.
Only on the History Channel.
Welcome to Playhouse Theater's presentation of The Forgotten Man. Tonight's story concerns two men, strangers, who meet on a subway station platform. The time is now, though for some reason it seems like many years ago. The place is a city. Perhaps your city. It's midnight.
Hey, buddy. Hey, buddy.
Excuse me?
You got a light?
Who, me?
Well, there's nobody else here, so...
No, sorry, I don't.
Oh, that's okay. I've had enough cigarettes for a lifetime. Do you know what day it is?
Excuse me?
The day. What day it is?
It's Thursday.
I'm sorry to bother you, buddy. I've had a rough week. Or is it a month? Have you ever had an experience that you need to tell somebody about, but you're afraid if you do, they'll have you locked up?
Nope.
It's nice to finally have someone I can talk to. I just want you to know right off the bat, I'm not crazy, okay? So when I tell you what I'm about to tell you, you don't call the Nut Squad and have me taken away. I feel like I can trust you.
Just so you know, I'm straight.
It's nothing like that. I just... things don't make any sense right now.
You know, my train's coming. I really don't have time for a story. Sorry.
I'm tired. I'm tired of running. What's your name?
Dan.
Hey, how you doing there, Danny? Like I said, I've been running. But this morning, I just realized something. You know what I realized?
No, what?
I'm running in circles. I'm not getting anywhere. You ever try to get somewhere and you can't?
Yeah, right now.
Listen, Dano, I want you to tell me if I start to get on your nerves.
Okay, will do.
My name's Clayton, by the way. Clayton Farnsworth. You can call me Clay. And I swear to you, I'm not insane.
Hey, pal, it's none of my business. I don't even know you.
You don't even know me. That's why I like you, Dano. That's why I like you.
Huh?
You see, Danny, everywhere I go, people think they know me. People I've never met before in my life. What do you make of that?
I don't know. Maybe it's just a coincidence.
Just a coincidence? God, I wish that were true. Strange women confront me in the street, angry because I threw them over. Guys I don't know from Adam, telling me about hunting trips I never took. Bookies threaten my life to collect on bets I never made. Yesterday, a 4-year-old boy called me Daddy. Me! Daddy! But those are all just coincidences, right?
Hey, that's my train. Nice to meet you. Good luck with this thing with the hunting.
Dan, please don't go. I need someone to listen. I just want to understand what's happening to me. I'll give you $20 for 5 more minutes of your time.
Like I said, Clay, I'm straight.
And so am I. I think. But I need to know why people keep confusing me with this other guy. Because if I don't find out soon, Danny, I'm going to call the Nut Squad myself.
So, how long did you say this has been going on?
I don't know. A week, a year, maybe 30 years. It's as if this other me just one day sprang up out of nowhere and began to live an alternate version of my life. And he's a lot better at it. Maybe he's the real me, and I'm the clone. If you were me, Dano, what would you do?
Maybe you just need to take a vacation.
I took a vacation. I went to Europe. Everything was fine for a while. Then these German tourists remembered me vividly from Oktoberfest. God, was that a long evening. Danny boy, you've got to help me. I need your help.
Hey, calm down, pal. Let's just think about this. Okay, you say somewhere out there's a guy who people think is you.
Right.
So this guy must look exactly like you.
But how is that possible? Can you think of any explanation? Anything at all?
Well, you don't have a twin brother.
Oh, shit. Damn it. Man, I keep doing that. We were never close. Sorry to bother you. Thanks.
Okay.
A desperate cry. The struggle to understand. Someone else walking around the world with your face. A doppelganger. And the only thing you share are parents. Plus, you can date each other's girlfriends without them knowing it. So that's cool. But after all the confusion and terror, it was Farnsworth's twin brother who was the Forgotten Man, 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 Man.
The Final Edition Radio Hour is performed at one time or another by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hendra, Jeff Hendrick, Kevin Janis, Jeff Chrysler, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Ebby Parker, Rachel Rauch, Steve Rosenfield, Anne Tuchel, and Darby Worley. The Final Edition Radio Hour is written, at one time or another, by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hendra, Jeff Hendrick, Jeff Chrysler, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Ebby Parker, and Steve Rosenfield. The Final Edition Radio Hour is produced by Tony Hendra and Jeff Chrysler, West Coast producer Barry Lank. The Final Edition Radio Hour is edited and audio produced by Greg Russ and Andrew Hammond. The Final Edition Radio Hour is the property of the Final Edition LLC, copyright 2014.